Good luck to you, then, Diana murmured. She threw off her flannel shirt as she rushed for the doorway. Soon she was in wolf form, running out into the night. Harrow wrapped his tail around Rachel's leg. It tugged her off balance, allowing him to swat her roughly across the head and shoulders with his long arm.
You know how this ends,
the wounded demon hissed.
There is no victory here. There is only a span of recovery for one of us, be it in heaven or the pit.
Rachel swung her blade at him again, only to be blocked at her wrist by Harrow's hand. His other hand punched her, sending her falling off of the SUV. Battered, but not finished, the demon crawled off its back, crouching on the vehicle as if to pounce.
It is a lesson the city's protector has learned well.
The angel got to her feet, grabbing onto the side of the SUV with both hands as if for support.
I'm not Vincent, she huffed, and I'm not playing by his playground pussy rules.
With that, she heaved the wrecked SUV over, crying out at the effort as she flipped it end over end onto the stairs with Harrow under it. It was one more thing the demon never saw coming.
Really is a waste of fucking time fighting you here, though, Rachel spat.
She snatched up her sword again, vaulted onto the ruined banister of the staircase, and hustled after Alex and the witches. She didn't linger to see Harrow's hands reach out from under the vehicle. Wade's new plan was to lie low, while the cars of vampires screaming to get away from the chaos rushed by. With any luck, he figured, they would be more interested in survival than in picking unnecessary fights with unknown attackers. Rachel would doubtlessly pursue any car that held Alex. Unless they saw her chase after someone, the group had no reason not to let the rest escape. For the first couple of passing cars, he had been right. Unfortunately, someone in the gravel parking lot in front of the mansion spotted them. Wade didn't know they were exposed until he took a bullet to his leg. Another hit Drew in the back. They both fell, and as more bullets began to slam into his pickup truck, Jason and Taylor dragged them to cover.
Shoot back, Wade groaned, holding up his gun. Y'all gotta shoot back or they'll run up here.
Jason obeyed. Wade had been right. Several figures already advanced on them in the dark. Jason brought Wade's gun over the top of the pickup truck, firing off several bursts and forcing the enemy to dive to the ground. He even managed to clip one of them in the head. The vampire slumped over dead, enraging the others. Then Jason's magazine ran dry. He pulled the pistol out of his waistband, ready to fire until the last bullet, but a hand on his shoulder stopped him. He no longer felt tired, nor aching, nor fearful.
You have done enough, a voice said. You have all done enough.
Taylor looked up in awe from where she sat, with Drew's head in her lap. Four figures in white stood among them. Their wings were even brighter than Rachel's. Light was shed from something around each one's head. Of the group, three of them moved forward, walking straight through the pickup truck toward the vampires, who seemed not to see them at first. A fourth knelt down beside Taylor. The bright light around her head made it hard to make out her face. She seemed twice Taylor's age and beautiful, with long black hair and gentle, patient eyes. The woman took Drew's hand.
You are safe, she told him soothingly.
Drew looked up in awe. The pain left his back. So did the weakness and all of the worry. The woman turned her attention to Wade, putting her hand on his forehead with the same results. The bullet in his leg vanished. The blood on his leg remained, as did the hole in his jeans, but the wound disappeared. He felt fine. Jason looked on with his jaw hanging open, as the other three angels, swords drawn and ignited, cut through the group of vampires as if it all happened in slow motion. Screams and pleas for mercy were quickly silenced. The three angels looked back at him. One of them waved. Then they faded.
Who are you? Taylor managed.
The woman smiled. I should not tell you. We should not have shown ourselves or intervened like this, and we will have to answer for it. But she seemed about to say more, then shook her head. When you see Rachel again, tell her that she is a bad influence on her colleagues. The angel reached out and touched the side of Taylor's face. My name is Julia. I have always been with you, Taylor. I have loved you all of your life, and I always will. Taylor's breath shook. She couldn't think of words to say as Julia leaned forward to kiss her forehead, relieving all of her pain and all of her fear. The angel looked upon Taylor with unconditional love before she stood and walked away, fading into the night. Lorelai's talons dug into the floor as she was dragged to the portal. They left long, deep scars in the carpet and even the concrete beneath them, but they only partially slowed the arm pulling her through the hall. Slashing at Ball's hand and wrist had done no good. The vicious wounds healed almost instantly. He wouldn't give up. Several more impossibly long arms reached out, too, grabbing at her legs, her hips, her shoulders. The portal would only be open for a scant few more moments. Crossing directly from hell like this was an immense effort. It would not have been done lightly, nor would Ball let it go wasted. Lorelai felt the heat of the pit on her legs and her waist as she began to pass through the portal. Lorelai! Alex yelled. She saw him rushing to her, armed and furious. He fired at the monsters behind her as he ran. Molly and Onyx followed only a few steps behind, rushing up with their eyes wide with shock at what they saw. The bullets had no real effect. Alex dropped the gun, snatching Lorelai's wrists. He dug in for every bit of leverage he could to pull her back. He's too strong, Lorelai warned. Don't let him take you too, Alex. No. Hold on! Rachel cried out from the end of the hallway. Her wings folded in as she landed, rushing headlong to aid them. A battered, charred monster appeared behind her, moving with even greater urgency. Harrow bounded over them, shoving down on her shoulders as if vaulting off of a pommel horse. Rachel stumbled face first to the floor. Harrow batted Molly and Onyx aside. The demon roared again, tackling Alex just as the young man thought for a heartbeat that he might somehow win this unreal tug of war. Alex was knocked off his feet. He tumbled after Lorelai into the portal. What had seemed like a horizontal plane suddenly became a long fall down a shaft. Alex still had hold of Lorelai's wrists. Ball's hands vanished, as did the others. Harrow's wings spread out behind him, slowing his fall. He wasn't the only one so capable. Lorelai threw her arms around Alex, spreading her wings out as they descended. She tried to flap them, to create some sort of lift, but she was too weary. You shouldn't have done this, she said to him, her head buried against his shoulder.
I won't let you go, he said.
She clung to him fiercely. Fear no evil, my love. It is your only chance here. Above them, watching the group fall, Molly and Onyx saw the portal begin to shrink. Onyx threw her wand against one side of it, trying to hold it open on instinct and magical willpower alone. Molly quickly followed, stabbing into the ripples in space created on her side of the portal, with her Verawood wand. Can you pull them back? Onyx asked.
Not without letting go, Molly grunted.
Just hold it open, Rachel shouted. She dove in, a sudden rush of light and wind rushing past the two witches. Winged shapes rushed up to meet the angel, shooting past the succubus, mortal and great demon alike. Small flying monsters, with poisoned tails and claws already dripping with blood, beset her. Rachel's wings pushed against the air, slowing her descent while she swung her blade wide. The first of the little beasts was instantly incinerated,
others pressed in. Far below her, Lorelai and Alex fluttered down until Harrow struck from above. Harrow's monstrous hands bashed them both and ruined the hold Lorelai's wings had on the warm air around them. Their fall ended with a sudden, merciless impact. Alex forced himself up off of the ground. He saw monsters of 100 different sorts surrounding them. None of them looked alike. He saw scales and boils, mottled fur and rent flesh, baleful red eyes and things with nothing at all in their eye sockets. Horns, tails, and wings were everywhere. But beyond that, very few of them bore any resemblance to one another, except for their hungry, frightful demeanor. Lorelai struggled to rise beside him. The succubus had landed on her back. As she tried to get up, a large, burned white foot slammed down on her chest from above. Harrow growled menacingly. As before, Alex didn't think, he just acted. The gladius was in his hands again, slashing at Harrow fiercely. The demon raised his hand as if to block it, but the blade bit deeply into his skin. He shrieked, jerking the limb back, then shrank back yet again as Alex swung and struck home at Harrow's side, drawing more dark blood. The demon's foot came off of Lorelai, leaving her coughing and rolling to one side. Alex stepped over her, ready to swing at the thing again without understanding how he could possibly have hurt something so fearsome.
"This has entertained me," said a voice, like a dozen different animals all calling out in the night. The cacophony only barely made any sense to the ear. Alex risked a look over his shoulder to see 8 feet of black, soot-covered horror with an iron crown standing over him.
"I will allow you to leave my realm, mortal," Ball sneered.
Alex kept his guard up. He tried to stay wary of Harrow, standing with the two demons to his either side and Lorelai at his feet.
"Fine,"
Alex said. His voice trembled, but he did his best to sound resolute.
"We'll be happy to leave."
"Just you. The succubus stays. She is mine."
"Fuck that noise."
"Look around you, boy,"
the demon lord rumbled. His voice put a tremble into the ground.
"She is home here."
Ball gestured with his broad arms at their surroundings. The whole land was smoke and ash and glowing embers. The demon hordes watched hungrily, congregating in a ring 10 or 20 yards in diameter, and many demons deep at every direction. More appeared with every breath.
"That is your home,"
Ball said. He pointed past Harrow. Alex risked a glance. The portal was suddenly at ground level. Molly and Onyx still stood in the hallway, holding on to the portal's edges.
"Your friends hold the door for you. Take the opportunity to leave while I'm still merciful. You cannot hope to prevail here."
Lorelai coughed. She reached up to touch Alex's hand.
"Fear no evil," she whispered hoarsely.
He opened his mouth to speak to Ball, but out of the corner of his eye, he caught a flash of movement. Alex lashed out with his blade, striking Harrow's huge tail as it snaked out to grab at Lorelai again. The tail jerked back, flinging blood everywhere as it withdrew. He had hurt the monster again. Alex swallowed.
"If I'm not a threat to you," he ventured,
trying hard to master his terror,
"how come I'm not already dead?"
"You would question this charity," Harrow hissed.
"From you guys?"
Alex nodded.
"Hell yes."
"This is your last chance,"
Ball warned.
"Leave my realm now."
Lorelai's hand squeezed his tightly. Alex turned his gaze directly toward the towering demon lord to his right.
Make me, he said.
Ball's eyes narrowed.
Hero,
he began, but didn't finish.
Cunt face!
Rachel screamed, diving down on Hero. Her sword hacked straight through his shoulder. The beast howled as his arm crumbled and fell away in flames. But Rachel had to commit so much to the blow that she left herself open for retaliation. Hero caught her by the head with his remaining hand to slam her face first into the ground.
Alex was distracted only for a split second. His memories of so many battles over so many lives were still too clear to let much of an advantage slip. Ball rushed at him, fast enough to bowl him over. Alex had his weapon up. Ball carried the young man off his feet, but Alex's sword was turned perfectly to meet him. The blade sank deeply into Ball's gut, releasing soot and ash over Alex's arms and chest. Ball screamed as he heaved Alex up and slammed him down into the ground. Alex fought on. He slashed viciously with his sword, gripping it with both hands, even as the demon pounded and clawed at him from above. Ball's roars shook the land around them, announcing his fury and, tellingly, his pain. Beyond them, Rachel recovered and pressed her foe. She swung left and right against Hero, driving him back as he tried with his tail and remaining arm to fend her off. She fainted with another thrust, and then drove her blade into his foot. With his backward momentum arrested by his impaled foot, Hero fell onto his back. Rachel pressed in, yanking the sword out of his foot as she jumped onto his torso. She swung in a broad, circular arc. Harrow's final howl was abruptly silenced. Alex gasped for breath under Ball's assault. He stabbed and kicked and tried to get free, but his efforts faltered as his body was thrown down against the ground time and again. Ball grabbed Alex's wrist, slammed it down onto the ground, and then brought his other fist down upon the gladius. The blade snapped in two. Alex punched and struggled, only to be shoved down onto his back by the demon lord's huge hand. Ball dragged his claws across the young man's chest, scraping bone and drawing blood. Then something hit the demon in the back. Alex saw taloned hands reach around Ball's shoulders from behind, gouging his eyes and pulling him back. Lorelei tore and bit at Ball's neck. Ball released Alex, reaching at his back to clutch at Lorelei. Something large, white, and frightful struck Ball's chest. It knocked him backward, sending him tumbling to the ground. The object landed right next to Alex as the young man struggled to rise. It was Harrow's head. Rachel flew past Alex, charging Ball headlong with her sword raised, only to be brutally swatted back. She tumbled to the ground next to Alex, her sword falling from her grasp. She coughed and spit blood, trying to shake off her disorientation. Alex reached out toward her, trying to ignore his injuries. In a moment, he'd probably feel a lot worse anyway. Ball finally got his hands on Lorelei. He dragged her off of his back, holding her high as if to slam her head first onto the ground, even as she fought to slash through his wrists.
No bitch could ever be worth this trouble,
Ball hissed, rearing back to cast her down. He almost didn't hear himself speak over the howl of agony that came from the boy nearby, but Ball didn't pay it any mind. He'd get to that in unbearable pain in Ball's chest interrupted his every thought. He looked down to see the angel's flaming sword sunk to the hilt in the center of his chest. Alex let go of the blade as he fell to his knees, gasping and crying in pain as his hands burned. Ball's grip faltered. Lorelei tumbled free, landing roughly next to her lover. Ball staggered, choked out a cry of terrible fear, and finally fell onto his back. The impact shook the land all around. A heartbeat later, his body caught fire.
Alex stared down at his ruined, smoldering hands. Tears of pain ran freely from his eyes. A hand grasped his shoulder. It trembled, holding on to him weakly, but it meant the world to him. Lorelei clung to him, facing him without the slightest illusion covering her bruises or her red, demonic features. She was battered, inhuman, and every bit as beautiful to him as she had ever been. It didn't extinguish the pain, but she drew him back into the moment. She wasn't alone, either. Rachel stepped over to them, placing one hand protectively on Alex's shoulder as the other snatched up her fallen blade. "We gotta get the fuck out, lover," she warned. Her healing touch helped him cope with the pain. Alex saw the hordes of demons creeping closer. Their moves were tentative, threatening but also wary, as if each waited for another to make the first move. Lorelei stopped them. "Baal is dead," she called out. "Harrow is dead, slain in their own realm, never to return. Do not make the same mistake they made." The mob of vile creatures paused at her words, but didn't look entirely put off. She stepped over the smoking remains of their master. Lorelei plunged her hand into the soot and ash. The mob let out a collective gasp as she pulled forth Baal's iron crown and held it aloft over her head. The succubus gave the masses a long, imperious glare.
"Lady Lorelei,"
one of them whispered. Then more, then more. The whispers became shouts. "Lady Lorelei, Lady Lorelei." Lorelei held up a firm, open hand to silence them. The crowd hushed. Fearsome demons groveled and knelt, humbling themselves before her. Her gaze fell across the entire sweep of assembled foul things, and over Alex and Rachel. Her beauty frightened him. He loved her dearly, yet here she left no pretense over what she truly was. Triumphant and terrible, Lorelei looked over a legion of demons that had called her name and then fallen silent at a single gesture of her hand. "This crown," she called out, loudly and clearly, "and all that it symbolizes, belongs to the last one of you standing." Shocked eyes went wide all around them. None dared move. Lorelei cast the iron crown far into the crowd. Pandemonium erupted. Rachel didn't pause to watch the chaos as demons shoved, trampled, and rent one another in their rush to recover the crown. The angel flung her arms around Alex and Lorelei, turned and bolted. The portal waited just a short distance away. The demons that blocked it now hurried forward, already fighting one another, disregarding the angel and her charges. They thought only of the iron crown. Onyx neared collapse. Molly was made of sterner stuff, but she knew her lover couldn't be much better off. They held the portal just long enough for Rachel to come flying through, stumbling to the ground with one arm around Alex and the other around Lorelei. The witches dropped their hold on the portal, staggering backward as the warp in reality shrank into nothing before them. A second later, the witches were both on the floor as well. It seemed like a pretty comfortable place for everyone. Rachel promptly saw to Alex's wounds. She got to her knees, gingerly took up his charred hands, kissing one, then the other. She held them with her head bowed in prayer. For a long, slow moment, even she wasn't sure of what might happen. But the charring faded, and flesh grew back. There were scars and discolored patches, but muscle and skin returned.
"Thank you, Lord,"
she breathed, as tears streamed from her eyes to fall across his wrists.
"Thank you."
"Wasn't—"
Alex croaked. He coughed, looking around blearily.
"Wasn't the building on fire?"
"No," Molly said. She lay flat on her back, waving a hand over her head. "No, I kind of blew all that out."
"Right,"
Alex nodded.
Right.
He paused to breathe again.
Where'd the SUV come from?
We don't know, Onyx panted. We were gonna ask you.
Alex? A voice called. Hey, y'all in here?
Alex forced his head up to look down the hallway. He saw Wade advance warily with a rifle in his hands. Taylor came with him, armed with a pistol.
Hey, are all y'all all right?
Wade asked. Seeing two strangers among his friends sprawled on the floor, he opted to keep the rifle pointed more or less toward them.
Whoa, Wade.
Alex waved.
Put it down. They're cool. They came to rescue me.
We came to rescue you, Taylor said.
Wow.
Alex blinked.
You guys, really?
The succubus sat up from the floor, only to find herself face to face with Rachel. I get him for Christmas and Valentine's, the angel said firmly.
Now is not the time,
Lorelei whispered. Christmas and Valentine's, Rachel repeated. Maybe I'll share him, but I'm just saying, no cutting me out on those. Lorelei sighed.
Done.
Hey, Taylor thought aloud. Shouldn't we get the hell out of here? Won't there be cops or firefighters?
Not at a party like this,
Molly spoke up.
They take care of that shit in advance. We shouldn't just hang around, but no, I doubt there'll be cops.
We can take care of cops, said Onyx. And I'm not leaving till I've had a chance to talk to him, she added, waving a hand at Alex.
Are we sure there aren't more bad guys?
Alex asked.
Pretty sure,
Wade nodded.
Drew and Jason were checking the perimeter of the house, though just to be positive.
Lorelei looked over to Alex.
Where is Lydia?
Come to me, the blonde whispered, beckoning with one finger from behind the bush.
Drew blinked, looking to her with suspicion. He hadn't seen her before. She didn't look like a vampire, though. Her skin wasn't pale enough, nor was she in black.
You okay?
He asked.
Found something?
Jason said, looking around the corner of the house.
Come to me,
Lydia repeated. The battered, disheveled beauty lured Drew closer. His rifle dropped low as she worked her charms. He was strong-willed, this one, and brave. It was all she could do to keep him mesmerized. If she could lure him in, though, and seal her enchantment with a kiss.
Hey!
Jason yelled. He turned his gun on her.
Drew, what's up with this? I think it's cool, Jason.
Jason, Lydia smiled reassuringly. Put down your gun. You have rescued me. Let me reward you.
She reached out to Drew, gesturing for him to come near.
Let me reward you both.
Drew's eyes fluttered. He stepped closer. Jason lowered his gun. Drew moved in, his face leaning forward toward hers as his eyes closed and his lips parted. Then he heard a sudden electrical buzz, followed by a flump. The kiss never came. He opened his eyes. Jason stood between Drew and the woman on the ground, with his stun gun in his hands.
What are you doing, man?
Drew blinked.
Dude, you punched out a demon tonight, a fucking demon man, and now you're gonna go all slack-jawed and stupid for this chick?
Lydia groaned, trying to rise. Jason zapped her again, leaving her sprawling out in the grass.
Hey, Drew protested. You don't know she's a bad guy. Bitch, is that fine, wearing a dress like that full of bullet holes outside a broken window? That's a white devil, man. You're a white devil.
Jason's jaw dropped.
Yo, I thought you was my nig, man.
Drew's eyes flared.
What did you just call me?
Chapter 18. All over but the screaming.
Drew just hit me.
Wade took the cell phone off his ear to frown at it.
What did you do?
I didn't do nothing, except probably save him from this crazy blonde freak here.
You know what you did.
Drew's voice was loud enough to be heard over the phone.
Oh, you said that word again, Jason. I'm a white southerner and I'm offended when you go saying that shit.
Oh, Drew's just pissed because he botched his save versus skank, Jason snapped. Anyway, we got a woman here who just tried to seduce us both, he went on. Beat up, crazy hot blonde outside a blown-up house full of vampires, and here we were, both ready to double-team her right here in the bushes. She's unconscious now, but I'm not sure what to do with her.
Right,
Wade nodded. He looked to the others in the hallway.
Hey, Drew and Jason say some blonde chick just almost seduced them both outside. They got her captured now.
Ugh, Lydia.
Alex groaned. He was still on his back.
I threw her out a window earlier.
They mustn't allow her to speak,
Lorelei warned, her fatigue plain in her voice.
She's knocked out now, Wade said. Also, Taylor and I saw a whole mess of half-naked people running around downstairs, too, away from the fight. They didn't look like vampires. Didn't seem like much of a threat, either.
Oh, man, Molly said. Those are the people the vampires kept as party favors. Did they seem all mesmerized or anything?
Nah, just confused and scared. Most of them headed for the parking lot.
Their first instinct will be to run, just like the vampires.
Lorelei nodded.
I have seen it in the past. They will have confused memories of the party, but most were likely lured here without knowing what was in store. They are a problem that will resolve itself. But it would be good to ensure no one is left behind here.
Right, that's all you guys.
Rachel got up off the floor.
I'll go deal with Whoreface.
No,
Lorelei said.
Wait, please.
You're hurt bad,
Alex observed.
Is there something I can do?
The succubus offered a slight, affectionate smile, despite her pain.
I will not expire. That danger has already passed. You know what will heal me, Alex. I will endure until then.
That's the only way?
It's the best way,
she nodded. Lorelei put her hand, covered in blood and filth, upon his shoulder.
You rescued me. Again.
Alex just shrugged.
I love you.
Lorelei nodded. She said, loudly enough to be heard by all, We should not linger. The authorities may be delayed, but they cannot ignore all of this for long.
Alex?
Onyx spoke up as she rose.
We need to talk.
I know,
he said, looking back to her and Molly.
I know we do.
Lydia, Rachel reminded him gently. I can take care of her. Bitch has a lot to answer for.
All of this, I would imagine.
Lorelei nodded.
Can you bring her with you?
Alex asked Rachel, looking between her and Lorelei. Rachel reached down to help Lorelei to her feet.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about, too.
The three of us.
Lorelei nodded.
You're gonna be nice to her?
Alex asked the angel. Rachel snorted. She had one arm around Lorelei while the succubus held to her shoulder with both arms.
I'm an angel. I'm sweetness and fucking light to everyone.
The blonde grinned as she gently led Lorelei down the hall.
Like a beautiful rainbow right up the ass.
Wade moved to follow, but stopped as he came to Alex. He gestured to Taylor.
She just drove a flaming truck through a giant demon and a house full of vampires to come get you.
Taylor shrugged. She still held a pistol in her hands. She watched Alex, too weary to blush, but too embarrassed to know what to say. Wade pulled Alex to his feet. He slapped his friend on the shoulder before following Rachel and Lorelai. Alex leaned on the wall for support.
You did all that for me?
She didn't answer immediately. Taylor shrugged again. Her lips were pushed forward, quivering a bit, and tears threatened to break free from her eyes.
You're my best friend, she managed to say.
Her voice wavered as she spoke.
You were always my best friend, and I never understood until all this happened.
Alex gathered her up into his arms. She held on to him, sniffling until she got hold of her feelings again.
Can I tell you I love you without it sounding clingy or weird?
Alex asked.
Yeah.
I love you.
I had sex with your girlfriend,
Taylor replied, half in laughter.
Might have a thing for her.
Alex laughed back.
I'm glad.
Well, then, you're a pervert.
She squeezed him again, before pulling off to wipe her face. She turned to see Molly and Onyx looking on awkwardly.
These are your friends, too?
Yeah.
Alex nodded.
This is Molly, and this is Onyx.
You look like an Onyx.
Taylor smiled quietly. Then she looked back to Alex and said,
I'm gonna go catch up, okay?
She kissed him on the cheek and then headed out. With that, Alex gave his full attention to the two women. He began with uncertainty.
So there's a lot to explain.
Uh-huh,
Onyx replied.
I should let you two talk alone,
Molly thought aloud. She got a single step before Onyx slapped her hand down on Molly's wrist. The redhead took her meaning and halted.
Is Molly your girlfriend?
Alex asked hesitantly. Onyx just nodded.
Wow,
he mumbled, scratching the back of his head.
This just gets weirder.
Molly knows everything, Onyx told him.
Everything?
Everything I know, Onyx elaborated pointedly.
Right, so I should start at the beginning?
Again, Onyx just nodded.
Okay, well, I guess I should start by saying that I would have told you everything straight up front, but I didn't know how or think I could. And if it seems like you like me more than you should, it's not anything intentional, but it's because of Lorelai. She's, a succubus, which is like, sex demon,
he added. Onyx and Molly shared the same exact snort and smirk. Alex continued,
And, well, I guess I should start by saying that sometimes I'm really dumb.
With the shooting over and the danger past, those less able to defend themselves made their escape. Confused, frightened people, who had only a short while ago been live refreshments, found their belongings and clothes in a few scattered rooms. They hastened to depart, many of them rushing to their cars without pausing to get dressed again. They remembered little more than attending a spooky, kinky costume party that ended in genuine violence and fire. Rachel effortlessly carried a bench over from the porch, setting it down near the bushes where Lydia lay under several watchful eyes. Lorelai leaned on Drew's strong arm until the bench was settled.
I wish I could just heal you, Rachel frowned.
I'll be fine soon enough,
Lorelai replied. Drew sat down where she could lean on him.
You could heal me,
Jason suggested dryly. Lorelai looked to him curiously, then pursed her lips and looked away. The young man's face still bore the red mark of Drew's slap, complete with all five fingers.
Or you could not,
Wade smirked. He kept his gun leveled in Lydia's direction, but his posture became a bit more relaxed. Rachel smiled playfully. She looked to Jason, gesturing in Wade's direction.
Head motherfucker in charge there says you get to live with it.
Jason sighed, glancing at Wade with a frown.
Jerk.
I simply haven't the words for how grateful I am to all of you, Lorelai said. This is twice now, and at such risk. Taylor sat down next to Lorelai, opposite Drew.
We'd do it again, she said.
Yeah,
Wade nodded.
Got off damn easy if you think about it. Only real casualty out here is my truck.
I will gladly buy you a new one, Lorelai told him. Any number of horrors could have been inflicted upon you had this gone poorly.
Wade just shrugged. First time since I've been home I didn't feel bad about being discharged, he said.
Maybe you were needed much more here at home, Rachel suggested.
Maybe so. Be glad to go back to living a normal life at this point, though.
You have a far better chance for that now, Lorelai noted. Centuries-old monsters and bands of unscrupulous sorcerers don't grow on trees. You may not see the effects directly, but what happened here tonight dramatically shifts power in the city and its environs.
You think they'll come after us? Jason asked. Look for revenge?
Lorelai shook her head.
It's a rare predator who goes out looking for a fight just for the sake of inflicting harm.
Isn't that right, Lydia? She asked. You've surely awoken by now.
If you think I'll grovel, you are mistaken, Lydia said as she sat up in the grass.
The blonde succubus brushed herself off, looking at each of those assembled around her in a semicircle. Behind her were only bushes and the side of the mansion. There was no escaping this.
I care not, Lorelai shrugged. That deep chasm of weakness you feel within yourself is from the loss of your master. Baal is dead, slain by mortal hands in his own realm. Harrow is dead in the pit at the hands of an angel. You know as well as I that such deaths are permanent. There will be no regeneration.
Baal's lands are in disarray. Your allies here in the city are either dead or scattered in fear, having fled for their very lives. Lorelai delivered the news in a tired, matter-of-fact tone. My love walks free. I remain at his side. Alex could claim you as his right now, though I assure you that the prospect would disgust him. Lydia spat at her. Utterly unbothered by it, Lorelai wiped the spittle away with a weary smile. Telling you this brings me every bit of joy that I expected it might.
So, Wade asked. What do we do with her?
I've got that covered, Rachel answered. Her eyes were on the prisoner. I told you what would happen if you fucked with either of them. You would lick the hand of the angelic hosts, Lydia sneered at Lorelai.
Lorelai tilted her head at the insult, but did not bristle. She calmly reached out to Rachel, taking the angel's hands in hers. Rachel gasped in unexpected arousal as Lorelai's tongue slowly, sensuously took one of Rachel's fingers into her mouth and sucked on it. The succubus kept her unperturbed eyes on Lydia while she worked the finger in and out of her lips, savoring the motion. Rachel whimpered. Lorelai released her hand, unsurprised when the fingers lingered where she could easily take them up again.
I hope to lick a great deal of this one, she said.
Drew blinked.
Wow, Taylor breathed.
Jason mumbled, looking repeatedly back and forth from Lydia to Lorelai and Rachel.
Can I get a replay of that?
The angel shook herself, forcing her expression back into a scowl, before she looked back to Lydia.
I should take care of this. She attacked a mortal under the protection of the hosts. She has to be judged.
Wait a moment more, Lorelai said,
Alex should be given his say.
I'm not mad at you for not telling me, Onyx decided. She walked between Molly and Alex as they picked their way through the debris-strewn foyer. I mean, I kind of am. But I'm irritated by the situation, not by you. We both kept big secrets from one another.
It means a lot to me that you thought I was in trouble and wanted to help,
Alex told her.
And then when you saw how bad it was, you dove right in after me. We'd be dead without you. And it's not like... Look, Friday was special. You were special. But it's not like I could expect you to put your neck on the line for me.
We like helping people where we can, Onyx shrugged. Granted, this is way more than just looking for a lost pet or helping someone get over the flu quick. But it's something Molly and I agreed we want to do with our lives. Just hopefully without all the crazy violence. And anyway, we had to confront these other asshole wizards sooner or later. You don't have to make it out to be something personal.
Molly nudged her hard. Yes, he does. She grinned.
Okay, Onyx sighed. Alex, I'm kinda hung up on you. There, I've said it. I've said it in front of both of you. I want to keep seeing you. I don't want anything serious, but I don't want to just walk away, either.
He didn't know whether to be thrilled or to feel awful. He felt a little bit of both. Wow, Onyx, I feel the same way. But you see what my life is like.
Yeah, so?
He didn't know how she could be so mellow about it. You don't think it would be amazingly complicated?
Onyx just snorted. Have you met Molly?
Hi, Molly waved cheerfully. Permanent complication. Break her heart and I'll turn you into a drooling, retarded, leprous mutant.
I'll admit it's crazy to think you can see anyone else when you've already got three girlfriends, Onyx conceded.
Two.
Lorelai, Rachel, and that other girl, right? Taylor?
Taylor's not my girlfriend.
You're her best friend, and you've been sleeping with her. That's still a complication. Alex had to grant that. He shrugged while Onyx continued. But apparently you've got the stamina for it, with your succubus cooties and all. I just don't know where you're gonna find the time. But I'm not asking for a deep commitment here. I'm not gonna leave Molly. I don't want you to leave your woman, women, whatever. I just want to keep seeing you. My bet is it'll be pretty great. He considered mentioning that Taylor seemed much more interested in Lorelai than in him. But that seemed tangential.
Onyx, I... God damn it, I want to, but I'm already... I mean, this is insane. To top it all off, I can't be sure if you like me for me or for the things that Lorelai's done to me. And that's just not fair to you.
Again, Onyx smirked. So did Molly.
What?
Alex asked.
Seriously, every time I think a girl is attractive, she looks back at me like she's going to jump me right there. And half the time I can't even resist. I'm a pig. I'm probably doing it to you right now, and I can't even control it.
You're not a pig, Molly snickered. You're more like a dog. A loving, happy, cuddly, horny, dirty, dirty dog.
Alex slapped his hands over his face.
Oh my God, it's happening right now. You're giving me a pass on all this because I'm having that effect on you, because I think you're hot too.
Molly and Onyx smiled broadly at one another.
Oh, really now?
Yes. Oh my God, Molly, you're smoking hot. I've got a horrible crush on you. Onyx, I told you before, I was in that cemetery taking pictures because I figured it'd give me something to talk about with either of you. I didn't know you two were a couple. I just figured I'd... Oh man, this sounds so lame, but I seriously would have been happy to go out with either one of you.
The witches burst out laughing.
Why is that funny?
Alex, your magic sex hormones, or whatever, don't work on us, Onyx managed to tell him. What you did with the graveyard was kind of juvenile and stalkerish, but it sounds like you weren't gonna go further than that. But we've been talking about you almost since the semester started weeks ago.
He blinked. What?
Onyx and I have kind of been open to a dating arrangement for months now, Molly explained. But nobody interesting came up. And then there you were, and it's just been a matter of making sure everyone's feelings were settled first.
Your little effect on other women doesn't work on us. We ward ourselves against things like that, Onyx said. I asked you out on Friday because I won a coin toss with Molly before we went to school that morning. Otherwise, she would have hit on you.
Alex looked at her with his jaw hanging open.
In fact, if we're all coming clean here, Onyx added, looking at her boots sheepishly, I cheated.
Huh?
I kinda cheated on the coin toss, Onyx said, in a small, guilty yet amused voice. Magic.
You bitch! Molly exploded.
I'm sorry, Onyx offered with utter insincerity.
What do you mean? Alex blinked.
Molly looked at Onyx in exasperation as her lover tried not to giggle. Eventually, she turned her attention to Alex.
Wow, you are dumb sometimes, aren't you?
She asked him.
Yeah, kinda.
Alex shrugged. Molly's rough, hungry kiss took him completely by surprise. Behind her, Onyx just laughed. When the assertive redhead let him go, Alex just breathed.
Oh.
Onyx and I are in love, Molly explained. We also love sex. We've talked about enjoying some alternative plumbing if we found the right guy.
There's some rituals that work a little differently depending on the equipment, Onyx added, but mainly we just thought you'd be fun.
You, Alex blinked.
Seriously?
I just didn't expect to get all emotional about you, Onyx shrugged. Molly hadn't let go of him.
I don't mind. I think I can see how that'd happen.
You'll see better once you've had a chance to get to know him, Onyx predicted.
You're sure you're okay with everything?
Alex asked.
You caught the part about the whole shared pleasures bond, right?
Yeah, we're not asking you to bring them along, Onyx said.
Yet,
Molly interrupted with a mischievous grin. Onyx frowned, but without conviction.
It does sound like a good way to make sure they don't feel left out. And the part about women throwing themselves at me? Sounds like a terrible burden, Molly quipped.
Yeah, that's a real curse, Onyx murmured. She leaned in to kiss his neck.
The curse of the guy who gets laid a lot, Molly suggested.
Onyx snickered.
Yeah, look, you've got a hungry sex demon to support. What kind of friends would we be if we weren't understanding about your domestic challenges? Wow, are you listening to yourselves? You honestly think that I'm not having that effect on you two right now?
Meh, Onyx shrugged. Worse things could happen. Molly gradually pulled off of him. Onyx looked like she was about to take her place. Then Drew called out,
Hey, pimp daddy, your other girls say they need you outside.
Embarrassed looks overcame both Alex and Onyx. Molly shamelessly chuckled at them both as she took Onyx by the hand and dragged her away. Alex followed but was stopped by Drew's hand on his chest.
I got something I gotta say,
Drew said firmly.
Okay. I see what's going on here, Yeah, I know it's weird, but they're all cool, and Alex, I'm saying I ain't stupid. I know you're not. You're one of the smartest people I know. Right, so I see what's going on here. Know what I'm saying? Maybe? If you ever, ever come near my mama or my sister with your dick— Whoa, Drew!
Alex threw his hands up. I'm totally not gonna do that.
Ever.
Drew, it's cool. I'm not gonna hit on your mom. I would never do that.
Oh, are you saying my mama ain't fine?
Alex was horrified. Drew, I love your mom. She's like my mom, too. I would never do that. He buried his face in his hands again.
Oh, my God. Drew, you're my best friend. I'm not gonna try to sleep with your mother or sister. Holy shit. I'm so sorry about all this.
When he pulled his face up again, however, he saw only a vicious grin.
Got you,
Drew said, then hugged him.
Jesus, you're a bad man.
I am,
Drew laughed.
I am.
He pulled back.
But if you ever, ever...
What about Jason's mom?
Drew grunted.
Shit, you don't know about me and Jason's mom?
Alex winced and started walking.
I'm sorry I even brought that up. You took that way further than I was gonna go.
Drew followed.
Took Jason's mama way further than she meant to go, too.
Groaning all the way, Alex found the others gathered around Lydia. He couldn't help but make a face as he saw her.
Technically, Lorelai said, Lydia now belongs to...
Alex held up his hands to stop her.
Ew. Gross.
He saw Lorelai's unsurprised nod, then looked to the others.
What can we do with her? How about we not just shoot this prisoner?
Jason asked aloud.
Wasn't even considering it,
Wade said.
But thanks for making me feel like a jackass again, jackass.
I can take her to a place where she'll be judged,
Rachel offered.
This chick has transgressed like a motherfucker. She'll face a fair trial, and then it's the swift, sure boot of divine justice right up her fucking ass.
Sounds good to me.
Alex shrugged.
We should take our leave,
Lorelai suggested.
Though we should also take some care to obscure the evidence here. There are good reasons to hide such events from the mortal world.
I can take care of that, too,
Rachel assured them. It'll all burn to nothing before I resolve the matter of Princess Skankula here.
We're going to need a ride back to Seattle,
Onyx said.
We left our car at Alex's place.
Yeah, I'm thinking I don't want to take anyone anywhere in my truck with it all full of bullet holes and claw marks,
Wade mused.
Reckon we're gonna have to steal us a car or two from the parking lot there from what's left, at least to get us back to the gas station.
I can make sure your truck disappears, Rachel said. You might want to grab anything you want out of it before you go.
Easy come, easy go, I guess.
Alex looked up at his friend guiltily.
Aw, man,
he said.
I'm so sorry.
I'll buy Wade a new truck, Lorelai said. It is the least I can do.
Oh, we have to set the gas station attendant loose, too,
Jason reminded Wade. He was still dutifully watching Lydia.
Though how we're gonna get him to keep his mouth shut isn't something we worked out.
Leave that to me,
Lorelai said. By then, Alex had sat down next to her and gathered her up into his arms.
Any reason we need to stick around here, then?
Alex asked, which resulted in a collection of shrugs and shaking heads. He picked Lorelai up, cradling her as she leaned her head against his shoulder. Rachel stepped over to kiss Alex on the cheek.
I'll catch up, lover.